TPP System 1 has some new functions called visualizations, and in this episode, we're going to show you how you can get started to understand how to use this product and how it can make your life a little bit easier in practice and definitely help your patients. And in addition to that, we've got a few updates for you as well. So should we just crack in and tech enhance your primary care and learning? Hi, EGP learners, and welcome to the EGP Learning stream where we're joined again by the team from TPP. We've got loads of content to cover in this particular session, but we are going to be kicking off talking about visualizations. But just before we do that, I'd just like to introduce our guest. So, Matt, do you want to kick us off?
Hello, I'm Dr. Matt Curtis, GP with Modality Partnership in Keighley and clinical advisor with TPP.
And also, we've got Gavin joining us today. Say hi for us, Gavin.
Hello there, I'm Gavin. I'm a product specialist here at TPP, so it's my job to know every single module and all of our products inside and out.
And he definitely does. He's shown me some of the stuff he's been working on, even overnight, to get this all ready for you guys so you can see what is really possible. And there is some actually really cool stuff that we're going to be showing you today. So shall we get cracking and have a little look at that, Gavin?
Perfect. No worries. Thank you. So yes, hopefully everyone can see my screen. Hello, and thank you along for welcoming us along today. We've got the exciting functionality for visualizations that we're going to be showing you today. Some of you might have heard of it, some of you might not have heard of it, but it forms part of our clinical development kit. So it sits alongside some of our data entry templates, our protocols, and so on and so forth. So a lot of you might be asking, well, what are visualizations? It sits alongside that functionality, so data entry templates, questionnaires, protocols, and it's been designed not to replace any of those existing features. It's going to sit alongside them and enhance them. So we have lots of different data in the system, and System 1 is key for viewing that information and pulling the right relevant information into a visualization or a view of that patient's record. So this is where they kind of come into their own. They can be built in a number of different ways to fall through patient information, practice information, or organization details as well. So before we get into the nitty-gritty and the build of them, it's worth kind of sharing the different flavors or examples that you can have. So there's three real flavors we have. The first one is in record. So you can see here, normal System 1 configuration, and that is the visualization in the middle of the screen. It's got all the active problems and so on and so forth, and it's how you can then pull and combine all that information in one single screen, along with some really, really clever graphing and charting functionality. Another use might be outside of the patient record. So here we're looking at statistics and reporting statistics for our practice based on the appointment breakdown, looking at how many appointments have we got, status, and our GP practice, our demo environment here isn't very good. Lots of zeros against lots of these different numbers. So you would expect to see that data flow in, and we'll touch on that in a little bit more detail later. And the third and final use is really going to be for our call board functionality. So you can build the visualizations into System 1 and display these in a TV screen out there in the waiting room, in the reception area, with some practice guidance, advice, and so on and so forth. And I've got a few different examples at the end or towards the end of today's demo showing you how that functionality works.
Brilliant. Is that okay if I butt in, Gareth? Is that all right?
Please do, yeah, please do.
So those three examples that you've shown are really exciting. There's an ongoing theme in general practice about the stresses that the system is under. People are busy, demand is higher, workload is increasing, and there isn't an easy solution just around the corner other than making our tech, making our IT carry some of that burden for us. And many people in general practice will recognise the increasing complexity of patients that we look after, the challenges of continuity. So patients often see a different person in the primary care health team. And that primary health care team is made up of all sorts of exciting people like physician associates and health coaches and advanced care practitioners. And the IT system, that the electronic health record, is vital for quickly and safely displaying bits of information that are important to the care of that patient. And visualizations are brilliant at doing this.
No worries. Thanks, Matt. So to get into the build of them, if we go to the setup menu at the top of the screen, you can go down to data output, and then we've got visualization maintenance, where we're going to go and build and manage all of these visualizations. So normal sort of setup with any part of what we refer to as our clinical development kit. You've got new in the top left, amend, copy, publish, delete, import, export, the standard stuff you expect. But what we're going to do is we'll start from scratch and show you how we can go and build one of these visualizations. So by clicking on new visualization at the top left, this is our build, our editor, if you like. First thing to mention, again, the standard stuff we get, which is going to be the visualization name, icon, category, subcategory, standard stuff. Then possibly the most important part of the visualization is going to be what layout am I going to use? And I've got some examples showing you how they differ, but we've got column layout, manual layout, and border layout. So the first one is a column layout. So this is obviously all of our different columns added onto the different screen. And this will actually scale depending on the size of the screen that you are using. So all those columns will be always visible no matter the size and shape of your particular screen. Now, there are other options in here. So you've got the manual layout. So this is a static screen size and it will not scale. So when you're building one of these examples, I would recommend, and I've got some top tips at the very end of the session, that you should find out what your smallest size of your screen is and build to that size when you're doing a manual layout. And then finally, we've then got border layout. And this is where it creates a north, south, east, west, and center section. And that will scale. So when you start moving that, depending on the size of the screen, you'll then see that it scales and you're able to put things in each of these different components or sites within that editor. And I'll talk about, again, top tips. You can put a different border layouts in border layouts. So I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in just a second. So let's start from scratch. So we're going with a column layout. And in the top right, I said there's different options or different ways visualizations can be used. So if you're adding particular components, you won't be able to use that in the patient record. So that guidance and advice is always there up at the top, whether it can be used outside of the patient record or it can't be used inside the patient record. And that will change depending on the components you add onto the visualization. Then the palette is where you're going to start to add all the different components. And we'll start to use majority of these. I will talk about most of them in this list. So you can see there, I've just selected column as an option. And that red line that I've moved over to the left-hand side is where that's going to place that component onto the visualization. So I simply click on there, and then it then gives me a list of options. And we'll go into more detail about those options there available. But you can have as many different columns within this list. Now, when you're building it, you might want 10, 20, 30 columns. That's quite a lot to fit on one screen. But you can put columns inside columns inside columns. So you can accommodate a number of different columns that you want to display on a single screen. And you can see where we're hovering over that, it's then suggesting I'm going to add a column within a column. So over here on the right-hand side again, you've got the feature called collapsible columns. So this is where you can actually have, if you've got lots of data that you want to display, but if displaying it on the screen straight away might take up a lot of the screen real estate. So what you can do is you can hide it under a collapsible column, and then the user would click on that to expand that detail. It might be a diabetes heading diagnosis, expand that, and then you get more information below that. So it doesn't have to be displaying on the screen straight away or immediately. So that's just another sort of look and feel that you can have configured and set up. There you go. That's me clicking on it up and down to expand and minimize. On the right-hand side again, now you've got border layout. So we touched on the layout of the complete visualization to be north, south, east, west, center using a border layout. But you can add components to be on the screen in a north, south, east, west border layout. And this is where you can choose what options you want. So cell style is just the component going on. Rounded is going to give it rounded edges, and it's going to put a box around the component. So if I use that, click OK, there you go. So you can see I've got a faint grey line around that border layout component. Now I can change that and I can do drop shadow. And this is more of like a look and feel of a button, has a little bit of a shading around the outside of it. But you can see there we've got the north, south, east and west components that I'll be able to drop and add my data into. Now, one thing to mention about adding these in here, they will scale and render. So if I just have a field in the east and west component, what that'll then do is it'll actually just fill the rest of the space because there's nothing in that center component. So the system is intelligent enough that it'll actually just fill the space that is here there. If there's nothing in the north and south, then those components disappear, and then it obviously just shows the center, east and west, sorry. And then you've got a title. So again, finding the place where I want that to be put on there, clicking with that red line. And then I've just mentioned about the border layout, rounded and drop shadow. But you've also got on most of our components, the color or the background that you want for the title. So again, you've got the full option of all the different colors and spectrums that you can select from within there. And then I really like this component. I think it's super powerful. It's the option to hide the component if it's not in a report. So this is where we then link into our clinical reporting functionality, and you can do dependency. So don't display the diabetes section or component if they don't have the diagnosis of diabetes. So it can be a dynamic work list as you're displaying all that data in the patient record. And we've got examples of those coming up later on. The other really powerful option there is the action to be performed when that button or that title is clicked. So that's a quick action which can take you to any different part of the system. So that could be to a new task, it could be to a different template, it could be to launch a protocol, could be to select a protocol from a list of options. So any sort of action that you'll be familiar with in System 1 can then be linked when you click on that title again. I think a super, super powerful option to be used or chosen when it's building any of these components. And then finally, we just got the formatting options, as you would expect to see in most of the System 1 functionality whenever you send to be typing information. So within here, I can cite in that is going to be my title. I can then center align it. I can change the size. I can then make it bold, as you would normally expect to do with most of the free text options that you've got. And there we go. That is my component added there, my title. Now we're getting into more of the exciting options. So displaying all of that relevant information. And we're going to use a table component. Now, clicking on there or where do I want it? I want it at the bottom of my visualization. Now, you'll notice you get the same sort of standard configuration options at the top, but you do have table properties and table heading and formatting options there this time round. So when you're displaying that, you might not just want the data to drop straight onto the visualization because what is that data displaying? So that's where you can choose what your heading size is, your alignment, bold, color, and so on and so forth. So allergies and sensitivities, you might flag up in red, for example. So you've then got the tick box for hiding the report, the thing I said, which was quite useful and important. But when you click on select data type, it then lists all the different data types that you've got in here. So you've got obviously coded entries, you've got medications, allergies, sensitivities, patient notes, communications and letters, consultations, care history. I could go on and name all of them on the screen there, but there's got all those different data components that can then be displayed on this visualization here. So I'm going to search for coded entry. So I've typed in the relevant option and I've got my coded entry there. And then you can see that as soon as I select something on this screen, it then filters off and shows me different information. But it's all dependent on what you selected. So medication is going to show you those sorts of options. Allergies and sensitivities will show you that. Communications and letters shows you that information. And consultations, there aren't any filters or initial filters, but you do have filter on site, location, date, and so on. But that's just showing you whatever your component is, you're going to see different options, basically. So a lot of you might be familiar with our clinical reporting. So these are using the same sort of options that you have when you're doing clinical reporting. So you can select if something's in the summary, a QoF cluster, primary diagnosis for palliative hospital units. And then you've also got the bit at the bottom where you're going to show only selected entries. So I could tick that and then I'll be able to select the read codes or select the codes from the list. And then I've got specific codes, codes and their children, and then the exclusions of a specific code and excluding the codes and their children. So same sort of similar options if you are familiar with our reporting. I'm just going to put a field on here for asthma. And you can see that's that first page or that first tab done. So what I can then do is I can move on to my filters. Clicking on the drop down there, I then got my event date, privacy, location, staff, role, who's recording it, first or last X, where I'd be able to define last three or last two diagnoses of asthma in this case. So we can add any of those different filters that we want as we're going along. And then the next tab along is going to be our sorter. So how do we want to display that information within the visualization? Now, depending on what component you're selecting, you're going to get different sorting options. In this instance, it's going to be by the date that it was added to the patient's record. And you can see we can sort by earliest to latest or latest to earliest. So different options available for you there. And then again, possibly the most important bit on this bit is how do you want it to display or what sort of fields do you want to display? Again, if you don't fill anything in here, if you clicked OK, it says it can't add that component because you haven't added any columns. Now, those of you who might be familiar with report output maintenance, those are similar buttons that you might see there on that screen where you can add a new column. And clicking on that drop down again gives me all of the different columns I can then add based on that data type of a coded entry that I've selected earlier. And again, that'll differ. If you've got medication, it might be medication name, dose, quantity, and those sorts of options. So let's select date and time here. You then get the column heading, name below it, so I can change that. Maybe I just want date, so I can take off date and time. But I can actually configure the output, and the output is sampled below. So if I click on configure up there, what it'll then do is it'll say I don't want to include the time, and I might want the month to be in full or numeric, and then I might want to slash as the delimiter, and so on and so forth. So fully configurable as per the way you feel that you want to display that information. Again, your formatting, like make a size 14, okay that, and there you go, that's added that component. So I'm going to do the same thing again to add another field, and this time it's going to be the description of the code, so that'll be asthma. And again, I might change that to 14, I want that to be bigger than the normal text on this page. And then I might say, oh, I want the notes added as part of that entry going into the patient record. And there you go, I can move it up and down with the black arrows there in the top left of that little highlighted section. And I can move them around as I see fit. So I might want the code first, then the date, and then the notes. And then you get a preview down the bottom half of the screen. So that's what it's going to look like in that particular field I've selected. Now, the most important part of when you're adding them is this width option on the right-hand side. And that is the ratio of what it's going to be within that field that you've tried to add the visualization component. So what I mean by that is currently that's evenly spaced 1, 1, 1. Now, if I were to change that by just double-clicking in that field and 3, you'll see in the preview at the bottom, the ratio is obviously of 5. So 3, it's obviously then made that middle field a little bit bigger. So now obviously I've got that relevant information in there. I can OK that, and then you'll see that's been added on with my title, heading, and everything like that. So this is my Blue Peter moment. So here is one I made earlier. You can see I've tried to use quite a lot of the different options in here to show you how it could be laid out. So it's got a column layout, number of columns in there, and then I've changed the number of columns in each section just so you can get a feel of how that works. I've used border layout, and I've chosen different colors against each of those different components or entries, and then obviously what the data is going to be displayed below it. So it's just giving you an idea of what can be done. I've got lots more different demo visualizations coming up towards the end, but it gives you an idea of look and feel. So we'll continue adding some more components on this screen here. So aggregate is another really, really powerful option. The aggregate option is designed more to graphically show a numeric value over time. So what you do is you get two separate options for rows and columns. And on the left-hand side, I can choose a number of different coded entries that I want to be selected from this. And again, I get the same pick list that I saw earlier when I selected the entry. And in this scenario, I'm going to say, well, I want the weight for this particular patient to be displayed in that field. And this time, your filter options, again, and your sorting options, how you want to display it. And what you'll find is when you added this component, you can right-click on it and you can start to set target ranges and alert ranges. So then we use the traffic light colored system to highlight if something's within a range, outside of a range, or it's coming up to that particular range. So we can set those within there. There you go, that's me hovering over them, and obviously clearing them options are there as well. So I can add a number of different into the row section, so I can have height, weight, and blood body mass index over time. Then I've got my columns, and this is how I want to output this information. So I might say I want the latest value to be the first component. I'll then add another component in here to say, oh, I want the delta value. So what's that value between the previous one and the current and the latest one? What's that difference? And I've got an arrow going up or down, whether it's going up or down.
Do you want to know how to use System 1 more effectively as a clinician? There are various different things you can look at, but there is only one course that can help you understand this and have all my hints and tips on how to use System 1 so much more effectively. And that's the System 1 course for clinicians. If you want to have a look at it, have a look bit.ly/TPPS1course, TPP and S1 in capitals. But if you do have a look at it, what will you get? Well, you'll get content and information and guides on how to use System 1 more effectively, from getting started with System 1 to navigating the patient record
to understanding the key parts like doing a consultation, as well as prescribing, clinical admin, communication, and various other information. And this includes my hints and tips on how to use System One so much more effectively, so it saves you time and your patients stress in terms of their navigation with their patient journey. If you want to have a look at it, check out the link. As I said, it's bit.ly/TPPS1course, and the TPP and S1 are all in capitals, and you will get access to all this content perfectly. Even better yet, there's a money back guarantee. So if you don't actually find this course has helped save you some time, just let me know. I'll refund you the course once you've completed it and stuff. Catch you then.
And then I've got some more options in here for the traffic lights. So that's using the color coding system I mentioned a little bit earlier. And then I've got another option in there to choose the graph. So you can start to see the preview on the bottom there as I'm kind of adding more and more different types of components. And then I've got a target option in there as well. So that would be using the numeric values range within the system there. And that will plot the current value, the latest value, and then obviously what that range is over time. One thing you can then do is obviously show the heading for this if I wanted to. I might change the row height. So as you can see in the preview, it's not very big. So what I can then do is I can make that 100, and then that might make the graph bigger. There you go. So I've just okayed that. I could have hit enter and it would have updated that preview straight away for me. I just clicked OK, and now you can see that that component is a row height of 100. So quite a useful sort of component and aggregate component that can be used or utilized in this sort of instance. Again, moving back over to my palette on the right-hand side, I've got buttons. Quite straightforward. You can then start to configure a toolbar within the visualization. So you can see here, I can do small button, large button, and then I can start to add different components. So I've just added something in really quickly there. So I've got task code, allergy letter, appointments, and tasks. And I've done that in a border layout. I've put a border layout around that, so rounded edges. Now, I haven't added it because obviously I'm just worried about time that we have, but other options on that right-hand side, we've got a data entry template option. So what you can do is you can add in either the latest entry of that data entry template to display and render there, or alternatively, I can say, show me all of the previous readings. And this works the same way that if you had a data entry template in your clinical tree, you would select it and you'd be able to choose the appropriate dates, and it would either give you an aggregate or a graphical view of the way that that data entry template was used or selected. Now, what I've done is, because I don't want to utilize too much space on this screen, I've actually put that in a collapsible column as well. So I'll be able to minimize that as by default, so then that data doesn't display. So you can see that's what I've just done there. I've just minimized it. That's why it's disappeared. What I've done here is I've added another collapsible column, and I've added this time the questionnaire. And the same sort of concept applies for the questionnaires. So the latest time that was completed or captured, or I can say all of the different questionnaires that have been filled in of the same type. So if I had a falls assessment questionnaire, I could have every single time that's filled in, or I could just have the latest time that that questionnaire has been filled in. And those options would be dynamic in there. So I'd be able to right click on those and maybe navigate to perform that questionnaire again. And what else have I gone and added on here? So the other thing I've added, I've just minimized that, collapsed that down so I don't see that getting in my way anymore. The next thing I might add on here is going to be a graph. We've got some different types of graphing functionality in here. So I'm just going to select and add in my code. This time it's going to be a HbA1c. And what you can then start to do with the graphing component, it's a slightly different graph option to the aggregate graph, because that obviously sits within that aggregate field. But you can then start to say, right, and patient record, was this recorded the last 6 months, last year, ever? And then I can start to see or restrict it by action groups. So in this scenario here, I might say every time a diabetic medication has been administered, or a group from an action group, so an insulin or whatever it might be, what that'll do is that'll actually sit alongside the graph. So I'm just choosing something from within that action group, and then I might jump up to the diabetes or endocrine. What that'll then do is on the graph, it'll then display every single time there's been an issue of that particular action group. okay, that it won't give me a preview because it's trying to display that preview of the patient data. But in the very, very first visualization I showed you, the summary, patient summary, that has the graph function in there displaying those cholesterol, BP, and so on and so forth. And then I think the final component I add on this time is going to be a particular image. So this is where you can start to add different images onto the visualization. So that could be any sort of graphical image that you want to select or upload into the system and then obviously display. So in this scenario, I think I just choose a TPP logo just to kind of give you an idea. And you can fix the height and the width of that so I can make it a particular size on the particular screen here. So lots of sort of content, lots of sort of different ways that you can start to add things within the visualization. But this is where I kind of, oh, just before I move on to that, I just want to say one additional point on that is, get past this screen, which would be on here and on this screen, I will be able to right click and then actually go and record or view more information about some of these different components, depending on what I've selected in this list. So it's not only the viewing the information, you will be able to use this more of a launch pad to then navigate to the bit or the entry of the, or the piece of the information that you want to enter into the patient record, should I say. So that's just one thing I wanted to flag up and highlight to you. We've then got some in-record examples. So this is the bit which I've been working on to try and show you what is the art of the possible. So I mentioned about this patient summary I showed at the very beginning. You can see it starts to pull through problems, sensitivities, analogies, current repeats, and acutes in that list. The last two consultations, and then that's those graphing options I mentioned earlier. Now I can double click on one of those, and it would pop out from the visualization and give me a full screen graph. It gives you a dialogue, not a full screen, but it gives you a dialogue window with that particular reading in, and then obviously the thresholds or the bands within that, whether it's normal, abnormal. Another example we've got in here as well is this is more community care, but you can see you can start to design it and put different colors, headings, logos, and then we've got different data or different components being flowing in from different settings as well. So this is community care package overview, but I might want to see the appointments elsewhere. I might want to see the tasks, all tasks. I might want to see visits that are booked in, not just here, but everywhere. When I'm planning and scheduling, when I'm going to be going out to see people, I might want to know that information. So another sort of example that we've kind of come up with. You've got an overview. So this is a medication overview, a pop-out node of the patient record. And you can see I've used an interesting graphic in the background. So I can see all the current meds, analogies, and sensitivities. And then on the right-hand side, those tablets are actually buttons. So I could use the button there to issue an acute medication or issue all medication. So that'll be all repeats. And also then I've got the timeline. So I can jump to the action group timeline, which will display on top of this screen here. Another one, we've got this as a launch patient visualization quick action, and I'll come on to all the different methods that you can actually launch these visualizations in. But again, graphs components, a new graphic image overlaid on top of the NICE guidelines for the 9 key care processes for managing diabetes. Again, just an example of how this information could be captured and displayed and then obviously added into if needs be. Quick prescribing, the top 20, 30 different things that you might want to prescribe could be built into a visualization. So those buttons, again, this is using more of a manual layout and having a graphic built within the system. But again, it's just kind of saying this is the art of the possible, which can be done. So now it comes on to how do you launch them or use them? So the key bit here is you could obviously configure the tree to display the different visualizations. You've got the toolbar, so you can add a button onto your different toolbar to launch it or display that visualization. And then I think it's key kind of to mention that the quick actions, the options available to do is you've got launch patient visualization, where it would actually give you the list of all of the available patient visualizations that you could launch. You can launch a visualization, but a selected one. So that could navigate you directly to your patient summary visualization, and you won't get the selector option. One thing to mention is that that is in a dialog box. So the diabetes key care processes was using the patient launch selected visualization. And then you've got launch patient visualization in a complete window. So that becomes the whole page, which you can then minimize if you've got dual screens. Throw that over to the right-hand side, and then you can obviously use the rest of the patient record and still refer back to that visualization. Now, that will update in real time, so if you're adding and changing anything, and then that should be displaying on your visualization, it will pop over straight away into that visualization for you. So I think that's a really cool and unique thing that you can have all that information on there, similar to where you process maybe your scanned images. You might have the scanned image there and the record there. And then you've also got another option, which I think is underutilized across the system, which is the pop-out node. So what you could do is there could be a button to pop out a visualization to be a full screen window, very similar to the way that the launch patient visualization works in a complete window. But I like to use that option as a title heading to then take me to somewhere else within the system. And out of the record examples we've got, so what we've got here is the breakdown for the appointments within the system. Now, I didn't do it within there because I don't think I had enough time, but you can actually build dashboard elements within the system. And those dashboard elements look at some of the clinical reporting options that you have available. So what I've done here is a column layout, and I've started to add all the different relevant information based on all of those different activity. DNAs, is there a DNA trend? Further in advance they book, there seem to be more DNAs. Maybe we need to click on the eye next to one of those and send a updated reminder to those people, maybe 2 weeks before their appointment with some advice or guidance. And then we've got a breakdown of everything which has happened. And I mentioned that we're not very good within our GP practice here, that we've got lots of 0% and zero. But you can see you can display data as a single figure or as a percentage of an overall appointments that have been booked. I'll touch on that in a little bit more detail because I've got something else to show you as well. So lots to cover. And then you've got public dashboards. I mentioned that you can see these in the patient call screen functionality. So you can build a visualization and display that up on the call board. So this is the organization preferences that are available for patient call screen. And you'll see at the top, you've got display public dashboards where no appointments are being called. So this is where you could cycle through some visualizations, advice, guidance, practice information, statistics maybe on DNAs. I'm just throwing a few ideas out there. And then what you'll then find is under the reporting menu, data, dashboards and visualizations, there's some more options in here to have a public dashboard, a rolling dashboard where it just cycles through all the information. And then I'll touch on visualization overview because I think that's quite a neat feature in just a second. So I'm going to launch a public dashboard here. I can go into the settings and I can configure what the different dashboards or visualizations I want to display. And if I just play this, you'll then see that this is my first one I've just created, set up with an image and some text. I'm using some NHS guidance in there about what we should be doing, about prescriptions requests and how long they take. And you should use AirMID. And then as soon as a patient is called, it'll interrupt my visualization. And then it will display that information, where they need to go to, what room, and so on and so forth, location. And then as soon as that's being called, based on your settings, it then flicks back into the visualization loop. So wherever it was interrupted, it will carry on based on the number of seconds you want to display each piece of information. So this is where the final thing I wanted to talk about in this sort of bit is going to be the visualization overview. So you don't have to publish this onto a rolling dashboard or a public dashboard to see this data over a managerial view. So you can see here, I've got the same appointment lists within here. I might say, oh, I'm interested in those people who DNA'd down there, those 491. Excuse me. And then I've clicked on the little eye next to it, and then it's taken me into that patient information here. And then what I can then do is, because that's all through clinical reporting, I can then start to use the communications annex to send potentially a preset message out to everyone to say, you recently DNA'd your appointment. Please, can you not do that in the future? So there's lots of different options available within visualizations. And I know I'm bombarding a lot of information at you, but I'm really excited about this sort of stuff. My top tips, essentially. I've been building these for quite a while, and I've come across lots of different things which I think are really, really useful when you're building them. First thing, definitely plan it out. There's lots of different components that can be laid on different screen. I get a big piece of paper, start jotting down what I want and how I want it to look. Building the content in columns is quite useful because you can cut and copy and paste things. So I haven't showed you that feature, but you can right click and copy it. And then you can click on the paste on the palette on the right hand side and paste that component wherever you want it to go as well. I mentioned at the beginning, with a border layout, if you added it from the right-hand palette on the right-hand side, you can then put a border layout in a border layout in a border layout in a border layout. So you can have as many different options within one single square with a north, south, east, west within. Pastel colours work. We've used quite garish colours in the past, and it is quite intrusive when you're looking at it. So I'd say keep it mellow. Pastel colours always seem to display quite nicely. Keep it simple. And sometimes similar to System 1, you can go away and build different buttons and images and overlay that on top of the component. But I'd say I think it works better if you see the System 1 icon that you're more familiar with. Aesthetics, font size, rounded drop edge. If you started to use rounded edge, continue to use it. I think if you're chopping and changing, sometimes the aesthetics goes. A manual layout, I mentioned at the beginning, if you're going to use that layout, make sure you find the smallest screen used across the organization. What is the resolution of that screen? Because build it to that size. Because if you then build it to your size of your monitor, your desk, that's not going to then render correctly, and they'll be scrolling up and down to find that relevant information. And uniformity, I think, is kind of a sort of an aesthetics thing that I kind of have mentioned. Oh, and then finally, I think, what's next? What can you do if you wanted to look and play with this functionality? So it's available on demo now. So if you have demo access to System 1 demo, you can go on there and look at it and use it now. If you do want access on your live unit, there's an email address there, system1setup@tpp-uk.com. And if you email that saying your unit name, your unit ID, and that you want to be enabled for visualizations, then we can enable it here within our office. And what we are planning on doing is some of the visualizations we've shown you a little bit earlier, Dr. Matt has decided or offered very kindly to publish some of those configurations or setup onto the resource library. So people will be able to download that and have a starting point and not just a blank canvas. So you'll be able to download that and build and copy and do what you want to do with that as well. So, wow, covered a lot of information there.
That's brilliant, Gavin. Well done.
Thank you.
It's truly amazing the potential that this visualization feature has. I myself felt quite overwhelmed the first time I saw it, thinking, wow, I can do so much. Where to begin?
Yeah.
And we're hoping that the examples that we've shown are just a starter. It's running in quite a few practices already, and it's amazing what sort of stuff people are already dreaming up. Clearly, the more people using it, the more people putting stuff onto resource library, means that we can all help each other with this.
Yeah, and the things in collapsible columns to utilize more space. I thought about that, but I hadn't really played around with it very much. Yesterday, we're on a call with someone who's got this and had a play with it, and they were using it all the time. And that just made so much more sense to me. So I'm sure getting it in the hands of our users, we're going to see lots of different designs, how people build things. But yeah, it's exciting. Mm.
Definitely would punctuate that with excitement being the key word. I mean, if you look at the comments and stuff that we've had from many people and stuff, so, you know, Dr. Geezer, great name there. Wow. Neil Pound, who's a local GP, this looks awesome. Dave Blake commenting, this sounds like great help with QoF and stuff. And Harrison Jacks, this is exciting, just came to the position of DTL, and I love the figures and can't wait to play around with this. So definitely a lot of excitement and stuff coming through. There were some questions about when it's being released, and I think you've answered that for us in terms of, obviously, it's available on the demos platforms and stuff, and if people want live access to contact you. So it doesn't sound like it's for full release just yet, but it is available for you, so if people want to have a go and pilot it and stuff. And I guess Shankar, a colleague of mine, is also commenting about, you know, are they going to be published on the resource library? And I think you just mentioned that that's the plan, that the visualization will be shareable as well, which I think that will definitely help a lot of people, because it will hopefully break down some of that barrier of entry of to start using something and then hopefully adapting and developing it from there from each individual users and stuff. So, yeah. I think it's been very much appreciated looking at the comments here, Gavin. So I wanted to give you a bit of a break as well there from talking, because I can appreciate you just talk for a while. I mean, there is another comment on there. I'm not going to put it on screen, but how many pounds would it cost TPP team to retrain another platform's developmental team? So that's how much you've wowed them today. So, yeah, interesting and stuff. We do have a couple of specific questions about visualization. I'm going to take those now, if that's all right. And then I know we've got some other content we've wanted to cover and things. So Penny Harhouten has specifically asked, can you set up a visualization to be the patient's homepage when you open the record like you can with views?
Yeah, exactly the same. So through the user preference, you'll be able to set that to be the default screen that you get when you open a patient record.
Okay, cool. I think that's the only specific one we've got, apart from Neil's asked about, does it slow down System 1? No.
No.
And then Shankar's just added in then, is there a planned timeline just to activate all System 1 practice with visualization by default?
Yeah, that is the plan. Eventually, I don't have a time frame for that, but anyone who is interested can obviously go down that route and request it. But yeah, there is the plan to do that, but I think we're just drumming up a bit of interest. People who want it, take it, start to use it, manipulate it how you see fit. And yeah, the plan will be everyone gets it.
Cool.
Okay, it's the same approach that Google are using for Bard, how they nicked it off us.
A much better demonstration, though, I think, than Bard, though. So I know we've got more comments and stuff coming through, and feel free to add them in if you're watching us live and stuff. Definitely keen to hear your thoughts and stuff. But what we are going to do, we're just going to move on to cover some of the other questions that I've had from the group and various other places that I know are posed to the TVP team, and they're absolutely happy to take any more open questions and stuff. I guess first update that's kind of happened, but I think people may just want to talk about and stuff briefly, was the look and feel. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so we are always evolving System 1. Every month sees a new release. Nobody has to buy the extra functionality. Nobody has to download it. We do it for everybody on the same day at the same time. And one of the advantages to that is it makes it safe because everybody gets the same product. There are some things, though, which are retained, so there's a personal preference as to whether you go with the new stuff or the old stuff, and look and feel is an example of that. And over the years, as you can see on the screen in front of you, the appearance of System 1 has changed as fashions change. Flares may come back again, and Corduroy is making a recurrence, I'm told. But we are keen to ensure that everybody uses the same modern-looking environment because that's safer. If somebody drops into a practice as a locum or if somebody's working in another place, it's really important that they are familiar with the environment that they're working in. And everybody using a modern look and feel achieves that.
Welcome to Inspiring Computing. This podcast is where computing meets the real world. Inspiring Computing aims to trigger your curiosity by talking to proficient and advanced MATLAB, Python, and Julia users who use these tools to deepen their understanding of the world around them by simulating it, exploring trade-offs, and gaining insights that help their companies add more value. In addition to proficient users, we will be talking to product marketing, toolbox authors, package developers, and library maintainers to see what drives their development and what issues they're solving for others to benefit from.
Yeah, and I'd echo Matt's sentiments there exactly, but I'd also add on that you will notice that we are starting to do this location by location. So people will be automatically updating to our newer version of it. So you might see a slight change in icons and colors, and it might be prompted with a question when you first log on to the system. And the question will be about the darkness of the page or the screen. I've heard a few comments about some buttons don't look like buttons, or they can't see the outline of those buttons. So this is where in the PC settings, but like I say, you will be prompted with this when you first log on. You'll be able to change the darkness. So it's the darkness of the screen. And you can see down the bottom there, the preview of all of those different options. So that will make an outline of a button more visible for you to potentially recognize that is a button and click on it. So that was the only thing I would add.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. So next up, if our viewers aren't aware of, from the 1st of April, there's a change to prepayment certificates, and there'll be an additional one available for HRT prescriptions. And this is going to have some impact, I think, potentially more so on dispensing practices. But I think to all practices, there's going to be some impact in how this is going to work. Matt, did you just want to cover off the kind of things we've seen?
I mean, this is a really good thing. Everybody knows in primary care that prescription pricing rules are just bonkers. You know, why do you get some things free and some things not free? The cost of some illnesses is absolutely exorbitant when it comes to the prescription charges. And from the 1st of April, the intention is that for a one-off annual fee of twice the prescription fee, so about £18.70, all HRT products will be provided throughout the 12 months for that one-off charge. We've been ready to do this for quite some time. We've got the solution, but we're waiting, unfortunately, for those changes to be rolled out under the GPIT futures contract. We are continually pushing colleagues at NHS England and other third-party suppliers to make this happen, but it's going to be tight whether this happens in time for the 1st of April. So what does that mean? Well, you can still prescribe HRT products in the way that we do at the moment. So they can be sent by EPS, a token can be printed if that's the way that you want to do things. You can even print it on an FP10 if that's the way that a practice does it. We hope that the new system will come into play whereby there won't be any additional work for general practice. It would just be a case of sending a prescription. And if you think that what we have at the moment with controlled drugs being separately prescribed to non-controlled drugs, that happens relatively invisibly to our users and all of the clever stuff is done in the background. So that's that. We're ready to switch it on. We just need the rest of the health service to catch us up.
So hopefully if it was to be a problem, it shouldn't be a problem for very long. And obviously a lot of this depends on the uptake of the prepayment certificate itself and how quickly that happens. Because obviously that's only available from the 1st of April as well. But I guess just to clarify for our users out there, the main issue that comes from this is that if the HRT prescription is not on a separate prescription, then somebody who has the HRT prepayment certificate will not be able to have it for free. They will either have to pay for it or they'll be directed to go back to the practice to have a separate prescription generated, which obviously from a workload perspective is something that I think Matt was keen that TPP are supporting and trying to avoid for practice as much as possible.
Yes. At the moment, a second prescription would need to be printed, and that could be done by the pharmacist, it could be done by the practice, but that's a bit of a bodge, and there is a better solution just around the corner.
Cool.
And we will be communicating any updates via the notice board in System 1. So as soon as we find anything out via the communication channels with NHS England, we'll be communicating that to all of our users.
Speaking of the notice board, so I had a quick chat with Matt and Gavin just before this started, and they showed me something that I didn't see. And I think it's really important other people know about this because this is also relevant to some of the contract changes that come into place from the 1st of April as well. We were talking about appointment methods, Matt. Do you want to go through that?
Yeah. So the contract that's to be imposed from the 1st of April contains a lot of stuff that is about access. And there are two main areas, I guess. There is the offer of an assessment. So people must be given an offer at the first time of asking. And the second bit is a target for everybody to have an appointment within 2 weeks, if that's their wish. This is going to be a challenge, I think, for every practice in the country. And there are some changes that are going to be required in the appointment booking system so that practices can demonstrate their success in achieving those targets and for NHS England to keep a track on how successful all of the practices are in achieving those targets. So we've got some adjustments to the appointment screen, which are aimed at capturing the six types of appointment type that NHS England wants us to be offering. There are six types of appointments, as I'm sure you know. There are face-to-face appointments. There are home visit appointments, which are face-to-face appointments that take place in someone's home. There are telephone appointments, video consultation appointments, and written online appointments. And then the sixth category of appointment is not an appointment. And those are for the admin tasks that take place regarding a patient where the patient isn't necessarily present or communicated to directly. And in our current appointment system already has lots of features. We don't want to take those away. We don't want people to have to redraw appointment rotas that they've already got that are working. But we've added, or rather we will add, some an extra slice on the appointment rota screen that enables those six methods of appointment to be captured. there is a very helpful but short document. It's about 4 pages long, which explains this in greater detail. It's available to every System One user. When you switch System One on in the morning or the afternoon or the evening, if you look down sort of towards the left-hand bottom left-hand side, there is a status which is where all of the news appears. The messages usually appear there for 2, 3, 4 weeks. There's an archive, so you can look at what status messages have appeared in the past. If you remember you saw something and you want to just check the details, this is there for every user. It saves us spamming people with emails every 5 minutes, and it's there. All of the important stuff is visible there. There we go. So bottom left-hand corner, we see what's there at the moment.
But the just if people do want to find that specific one, it was on the 20th of March it came out on, and it's called Appointment Method. So it should be, at this point, it's probably still number one or two, depending on if you've had any other local updates and stuff come through.
Yeah. And this is all to satisfy the GPAD process, which, as I'm sure everybody knows, is a well-intentioned way of capturing the activity of general practice, but it's not quite a foolproof method of data collecting just yet.
If I can ask Matt, do you know when that new slice on the appointments slots things will be live for everybody? Because I was checking yesterday and I couldn't see it on my System One platform at this point. Or is it role specific?
Yeah, I have a feeling it will be available at the next maintenance release, which is tomorrow. I think, all being well.
Fine, cool. And then our next kind of update session section we aptly called Still Here, I think was probably the best way we could describe the kind of topic stuff. Matt, did you want to explain what this weird little title is all about?
Yeah, well, there's lots of things that are potentially changing in other systems. So things like clinical risk calculators like QRisk are constantly being looked at and evolved. At the moment, we have absolutely no plans to remove QRisk. We see how valuable it is. It's so useful to have it embedded in your clinical system. So QRisk is here to stay. I am aware that there's a desire from NHS England to bring risk calculators under one central project roof, so it's the same for everybody. And you know, it's a big job. And I know they're keen to do it, but they've got a load of other things that they need to do as well. So for the time being, risk calculators will stay as they are.
Cool. Thank you. And then the final topic, and I can see it's already come up in the chat comments as well. It was, I guess, just an update on Bridget and what's going on.
Mm. Oh, do you want me to say something about the panic alarm as well? That's another thing that's still here. So there are ways of summoning help in System One. You can use your mouse or you can do a karate chop on your keyboard and hit the enter, shift, and what's the other one?
Control.
Enter, shift, and control, that's it. And that's, you know, clearly very important if there's a medical emergency or if there's a, you know, something even more serious happening. And the ability to summon help quickly is really useful. It's very important, though, that users correctly enter their location. If you don't enter your location, then nobody will know where you are. So do encourage your colleagues to do that when they are logging on.
Another quick tip, if you are working from home, make sure you make that very clear that it's a home laptop that you're using. Otherwise, you may have everybody running around the practice trying to find you and obviously not being able to if you've accidentally hit, you know, the panic button. Not to say that's ever happened to me, honestly. Never happened. Cool. And so, yeah, we were just going to give a brief update about Bridge and then go to any other questions. So if our viewers who are live with us right now do have any other questions they wanted Matt or Gavin to try and tackle, they will do their best. Obviously, a bit of prep time is always appreciated and they may have to come back to you and stuff. But, yeah, just before we get to those, if we talk about Bridge.
Yeah, so as of the release tomorrow, any organisation who has mobile working enabled will get the new Bridged organization preferences. So it will be available for all of the organizations who have mobile working enabled. So hot off the press. So that means that you'd be able to download the app, obviously enable it, download the app, approve the device, and then you will be able to look at your upcoming appointments. You'll be able to access patients' records, complete different data entry templates for patients' records, and so on and so forth. Obviously, it's happening tomorrow, the release, but we think it probably deserves a separate sort of webinar to truly kind of show you the capabilities of Bridged and everything that is available within it. But people wanted to download it and have a look at it and try and use it in the meantime. It will be available for all users as of tomorrow who have mobile working enabled.
I'm a fan. I'm off to do a care home round this afternoon and I'll be taking Bridged with me.
Definitely sounds good. And I think if our viewers do want some more detail on how to use Bridged, I guess from a clinical perspective or in practice perspective, or if you wanted more detailed stuff on visualizations, do let me know in the chat so then I can organize that with the TPP team at a later date and stuff. We have had some questions coming through in terms of some of the other stuff and things. So I'm going to take a little bit of adaptation with this one from Dave Blake. I imagine too soon to get it on Bridged. I think he's talking about visualizations. Is that correct, then?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I think because visualization touches on so many different data points, and then displaying that on a mobile working solution, be that a mobile phone or an iPad or Android device and everything like that, very, very early. I think we haven't even looked at that. We're trying to get it right on the client first before we then move on or think about moving on to a mobile working solution.
Okay, cool. So Catherine's asked specifically around the QRisk. Sorry, arrived late. Will that be QRisk 3? So I think this is in relation to the QRisk stuff.
Yeah.
QRisk 2 is there, but any detail?
Yeah, QRisk 3 isn't on our plan just yet.
Okay, fair enough. And then Shankar's asked the question about the communication annex. So it's a little bit of a long one. Thank you for the improved functionality of publishing presets across organizational groups. It'd be great / time saving if there was a search functionality like other areas to save endless clicking of folders to find them and stuff. Do you see that being a possibility?
So we'll just say that again. So that there is a search functionality within communication annex, but is that searching specifically for question? Sorry, I just missed the end of the question.
The end was search functionality like other companies to save endless clicks to open folder to find them.
So yeah, I think in my video I did show the search because I searched by DNA and that came up and then I was able to choose that. So I'm not sure exactly what the question is.
So human behavior is great. I searched for Med3 on our practice and there's about 17 different Med3 messages that people have configured over the years. So a spring clean periodically is a really good idea as well, so that you've got fewer haystacks to search through for that needle.
Definitely agree with that. And maybe reconciling some of those to just possibly one unified message from the practice, having that equal, perspective from everybody and stuff and things. Joanna's asked the question, are there any GPAD settings connected to the separate visit screen or just the appointment? Yes,
a really good question, Joanna. You're not the first person to have asked that. And it highlights that GPAD is very much a work in progress for NHS England, I suspect. There's all sorts of activity that happens in general practice that GPAD won't capture. So if I pick up the phone to talk to a patient about their blood test result, unless I book an appointment, then by GPAD's estimation, I've not done any work. And you can argue the rights and wrongs of that till the cows come home. There are appointments that take place at extended access services and through our schemes, which again, aren't going to be captured by GPAD. So you're right. Lots of what GP staff do isn't going to be captured by GPAD. Yet, hopefully, it will evolve.
Yeah, which is clearly frustrating and annoying and stuff. I know that one of the, and I think, who was it? Joanna was mentioning that the way around that is to add it back to the appointment ledger as a separate appointment slot, as a visit coded slot and things. But it just seems bonkers to do that. And I know many practices of my own, to be honest, we try and do it and you forget after a while because it's just, it's doubling up work for the sake of doubling it up, isn't it?
It can make it dangerous in that once you've got an activity happening in two different places, there's a risk of it either being done twice, which is not dangerous but frustrating, or not being done at all. So I would urge practices not to make dramatic changes to their working processes. If they are embedded, they work, they're safe, don't change it. Change it merely for the sake of GPAD.
Okay. Got a couple more questions. So one about Brigid. So Dave's asking the question, although it's likely to be released to practices, any ideas of medication issuing being made available in the future? I'm assuming via Brigid.
It's something we want to do in the future. It's tricky because it's difficult to plug a smart card into an iPhone at the moment, and things like EPS is obviously smart card driven. So there's all sorts of things which we want to do, but not quite possible yet.
Okay. And then Marcus has asked the question about the communication annex, when we will be able to attach documents via the communication annex. Is that on the roadmap?
I think that's one we might have to take away.
Fair enough. I think that's come up previously when we've talked about the communication annex. I think that's definitely more useful for some practice areas compared to others, depending on what systems they may be using. But I think it's maybe that whole thing about there are times where you want to send patients documents specifically, and being able to do that can be beneficial.
I think we've just identified a really good subject for a future EGP learning event.
Definitely. Always keen on that. So, Gavin and Matt, thank you very much for your time. I've really appreciated it having you guys here and having the opportunity, obviously, for the System One universe to ask questions to yourselves. And definitely, I know Shankar mentioned it somewhere, and I'll see if I can bring it up wherever it's gone, because it is really nice. Here we are. So the small nuggets at the end, really helpful updates. Thank you. I know that several areas use those kind of parts in particular to share with their teams, just to give them an update of what's going on with TPP and how to get the most out of the system for both the practices and obviously for the patients and things. As they both mentioned, we're more than happy to look at, you know, other kind of content that you, the viewers, want to see. So whether it's around visualizations, whether it's around Brigid or other kind of topics. And we are currently working towards hopefully having another conference later on in the year as well. And maybe some extra fun stuff, like maybe having that in person as well. So definitely watch this space to see how we're going on with that. As always, if you've got any comments or questions, you're more than welcome to contact myself. Either stick it in the comments down below, or alternately email me, or contact me on social media and stuff. And as always, we're here to help tech enhance your primary care and learning. We'll catch you in the next episode. If you want to, you can check out this one that's coming up right here somewhere else that will show you some of the other stuff that we talked about today as well. Catch you soon. Oh, hello there, EGP learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System 1. And often I've really struggled to answer that question, because let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right, if you use EMIS but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? It's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, to tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it? Oh, and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.